Why are so many people sleeping rough on the streets? Mark and Pete have the answers.
Hello and welcome to the show. Colourful Conversations with Mark and Pete. Yes, how do we help homelessness? Well, it is quite alarming that statistics have just revealed by the government that more than 4,000 people a night are having to sleep rough on England's streets. Now, that is a staggering 16% increase on last year. What is causing this problem? Well, we're going to go into it in a lot more detail. Now, with me today is Clergyman Pete. So, Clergyman Pete, how many people do you see sleeping on the streets where you live, and what needs to be done about it?
Well, businessman Mark, just where I live at the moment, I don't see that many people sleeping rough on the streets. It seems to be a city problem. This is my perception. I recently moved from a large city.
Well, we'll explore that. Yeah. That's true.
Well, this is my personal experience, is moving from a large city to an urban area, but not such a big city. I found that I don't see as many people sleeping on the streets. But I do see a level of lack of care of people living in perhaps low standard housing, that sort of thing. But I don't see people living on the street. But I used to see it, and it used to be perhaps people sleeping in doorways, people sleeping outside the church in the graveyard. Mm. And I once opened the door of the church to morning prayer to have someone fall into the church because they were sleeping with their back on the door.
Mm. Well, that's not a good situation to find yourself in.
No, it's a way to get people into church, though.
I guess so, yes. Sadly, not for the right reasons. But one of the things that is interesting is the government has said that it is determined to help the most vulnerable and was investing £550 million to tackle the problem. Well, now, John Sparks is the chief executive of Crisis. This is the organization, the charity, that helps homeless people. Now, one of the things that he recently stated in an interview was, behind these statistics are thousands of desperate people sleeping in doorways, as you just said, bins, shelters, stations and parks, anywhere, in fact, that can find a safe haven, effectively a safe place to escape the elements. Well, that's all very well, but spending money actually isn't just the answer, is it? Because if that were the case, the government has been spending millions over the decades, and yet the problem seems to be on the increase. So we'll go into it in a little bit more detail, but what do you think are some of the things that the government should do rather than just simply throw money at this problem?
Well, if we're going to have the government addressing this problem, I think that some of the initiatives that are already in place of trying to encourage people to get back to work, to by giving them an address, that can help. This is something. There are some things in place that the government does appear to be doing, but what I would say that the best solution is for the government to get out of the way and let people deal with it. You know, whenever you have a government department dealing with this sort of problem, this sort of social problem, they tend to make it worse.
Yes. Well, the statistics do show that. And what's quite remarkable is that I mentioned before about John Sparks. He continued to say in his interview that rough sleeping ruins lives, leaving people vulnerable to violence and abuse and taking a dreadful toll on their mental and physical health. It's understandable. According to their recent research, has shown how sleepers are 17 times more likely to be victims of violence. Now, this is clearly no way to live. Now, each week we normally do a poem. Usually it's a silly poem, but on this particular occasion, it's one that's a little bit more poignant, and it's called Deeply Scored. Looking down, oh dear Lord, our city's made of cardboard, tiny boxes filled and stored, containing people just ignored. In groups they sit as one accord, on grimy streets far and broad. With homeless help deeply flawed, the state of welfare is untoward. Rough and wretched figures explored show gloomy statistics on record. Now the packing flaps so deeply scored fold into the night as sorrow soared. A sign reads, "Give what you can afford. Here lies hell, my life's reward." Well, as you can see, that statistics do show a rather troubling trend. So, Clergyman Pete, I'm going to just ask you this question about areas where you think that rough sleepers are perhaps at their highest. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to say whether they're towns, cities or villages or anywhere like that, but just let's go for what you, where you think in England, we'll just stick to England, where you think is the most densely populated people of homeless people.
Okay, right. So I would say I'm going to go for the most populated place as being the place with me. I'm going to say London. Specifically, central London.
What a surprise.
Central London.
Could you be a bit more specific? You are right, it is London. What would you say?
I would say, let's think, Hammersmith.
Yes, Westminster.
I was going to say Westminster. I was going to say... Boy. Oh. But quite surprisingly,
although London, that's quite obvious. I mean, there are many statistics that break it down into other parts of London. But outside of London, where else do you think are some of the country's most populated areas with rough sleepers?
I'll give you an example. I'll just say for our overseas listeners particularly, Westminster is perhaps the richest area in London, maybe in the country, but certainly London. So it's... It's rather poignant, ironic that that should be the case.
Yes.
But it did seem likely that's where they'd be. Right, outside of London. Well, you see, I still think it's going to be a city. Now, if you're talking about a big city, though, the second biggest city is Birmingham. Liverpool, however, is a big... I'm going to say Liverpool.
No, I'm not saying that they don't have it, but they are certainly not on this particular list. Okay. Actually, I'll tell you, it's actually Brighton and Hove. Now, for those outside of England, it's actually on the south coast. Now, it's not far away from London, but it's quite an alarming statistic.
But both these areas, if I just say, both these areas are aspirational areas. So people move into the area, they don't want to move out, and they end up getting stuck there. I could see that being the case. Whereas somewhere like Liverpool, it's somewhere which is actually... quite a good place to live, but it's not somewhere where you aspire to live. So you don't get the same pressure of people moving into the place, thinking the pavements will be made of gold, as you do in Westminster and Brighton, as you say.
But what's even more surprising will be the one that's third on the list.
Oh, right, third on the list is Redditch.
No. No.
Okay. Explanation needed. That's where we grew up. Yes, in the same place. Yeah. Not Redditch then, which is a small town in the Midlands.
Sadly, although Redditch may have homeless people,
it's another city. It's a city, isn't it? It's a city.
No. It's Cornwall. Quite remarkable. So Cornwall being way down on the southwest coast. But what is interesting here is that when you look at these statistics, and we've said collectively that obviously there are just over 4,000 people sleeping on the streets. But let me ask you this. Of those 4,000, how many do you think are under the age of 25?
Well, first, let me say before, I'm a bit dubious. How do you know? I mean, how do they know that there's that many? I mean, surely there are many.
Well, I don't know whether I know. I'm only going by this is held by independent researchers, which is the England data unit.
Which
has collaborated with various other...
That may be the best figure we can get. I'm going to say it's the best figure we can get, but I'm just saying it's not likely to be that accurate, although it gives us a broad...
No,
figure.
It isn't.
Now, so under 24, was it?
That's the worst part.
Was it under 24, you said?
No, under 25. Under 25. Close.
Under 25. Okay, I'm going to say percentage. You want a percentage? I'm going to say...
No, just give me a figure.
Oh, a figure. So out of
4,134.
I'm going to say 3,298.
No. Remarkably, 288.
Oh.
Which means that the vast majority are over 25.
No, this is interesting because I thought the opposite would be the case. There you go.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. Which shows you that there is something interesting in these statistics. Yeah. Now, here's a question then, just to conclude this part. How many are homeless, sleeping rough, of those 4,134 actually come from other EU countries?
Oh, so they've traveled it. I would say of them, 328.
Well, it is under 1,000. It's actually still quite a high figure. It's 714, according to the statistics. So, interestingly, for the what is still a high percentage, those people who are coming into the country are actually finding themselves on the streets now.
What would be interesting? I don't know whether you have these figures, how many of those are from overseas and have entered the country illegally and therefore aren't able to get housing? Yes. That would be interesting.
Yes.
So, but I think that this is a problem that our government in Britain tried to address, in that people coming into the country thinking everything would be hunky-dory once they get here, realising that actually it was difficult to find a job and find housing, that Britain was going through its own problems. And they tried to address it by saying how terrible Britain was and having advertising hoardings where they say, it's awful, you won't like it here. This didn't work, of course, because it's still possible to be pretty bad and still better than the country you've come from. It's all relative, isn't it? But I think it does show that... or it's an indicator that those who say, look, we can't take in the same level of immigration that we've had for the past few years are correct. Yes. You know, that we really need to seriously reduce it and maybe even have a temporary stop.
Well, I think this is the point, and this is one of the reasons for asking that question, because it's not as though that Britain doesn't want to, bring people into the country. There are a lot of people who come in with great skills, they're needed, and they get absorbed into the culture, and they stay here, and they become nationalised. That's great. But I think one of the statistics that we just read out shows that clearly a lot of them are struggling to find jobs, to find homes. It's very expensive, particularly in the cities that you mentioned, London in particular. And when you add up all of the issues today and the uncertainties of the world, clearly Britain in particular, and especially in England, is struggling to cope with the problem. With the increase of people who are perhaps coming from either broken homes, that's another factor that we have to consider here, is what are the causes here? It's not just about the fact that housing costs generally, what per se, are expensive, which they are. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. We've seen a rise in recent years. But it's the fact that there are more and more broken homes that are occurring in the country. We are definitely getting an influx of people coming from other countries. And this is putting the system, pushing it to the absolute limit. It's creaking. It can't cope. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to mention about what we could do here, because interestingly, some local authorities have started to consider some of the following, which is how that they could use their funds. You mentioned at the beginning of this, which should the main national government step back.
Yeah.
I think this is just my opinion. That is what I think, I'm going to look at it from I know it's a humanitarian issue, but I'm also going to look at it from a business point of view. Because from a commercial point of view, clearly over the last 10 years, the government's policies haven't worked. Statistics show that. Mm-hmm. Now, it's getting to the point now where it's getting dangerous, not just for the homeless people themselves, but as I mentioned earlier, that people are turning to violence, and it's understandably so. People's mental health and physical health is putting strain on everyone. So I think that what should happen here is the onus should be put on the local authority. Yeah. And here, that I think, one, they should take the responsibility for homelessness on their streets. Two, the communities themselves are also responsible. So if the government, for example, pulled the money out of this initiative and put the money back to the local authorities, who in turn effectively determine where that money went, potentially even looking at how that would affect their taxes. Yes, so one of the problems here is it's very easy stepping over people in the street and going about your own business and expecting somebody else, like the government, to sort it out. But if it suddenly hits your bottom line, maybe you might take a different view. And effectively, we're taxed anyway. So we're taxed via the pay as you earn, etc. And what would happen is that that money goes into the government pot. They put that out into their various initiatives. But what if it affects your bottom line from your local government? Effectively, what we would see through our council tax. Maybe people might take a bit more responsibility about what's happening on their own doorstep. Well, what's your view?
Well, I agree. Now, that's the businessman's point of view, which on the whole, I agree with. I agree with the localism aspect. Local decisions make for better, more targeted use of resources. Of course, that's true. But it also means that you tend to actually know more about the people. Local people may well know the homeless people.
Exactly.
And that can help. And certainly once you start to help them, if it's put into place by people who are working locally, you know, the care is put into place, whatever it is, placing them in a house, whatever it is done by local people. Then the local community knows them, which was the point you were making. But I think that from the church point of view, so here's a clergyman's point of view, I would say take it out of the government hands altogether and give it to local charities, local businesses to cope. This would take the government stepping back. And I realise, and you know, I factored in this, I understand that this would mean people may well fall through the net or fall out of the care while we change over. But I think if government stepped out of the way and local businesses and community organisations, very local charities, took up the slack, then you'd get a far more effective way of coping with this. Because then you'd really have people knowing the situation, knowing the people who need to be placed in homes. And people are generous when they know where their money's going. They're knowing it's having good effect. I believe that that is the solution, not just to this, but lots of other problems, which social problems that we have in this country, which are dealt with by government, which is so ineffective because it's impersonal. From the Bible, Isaiah chapter 58, starting verse 6, talking about how to really worship God by fasting. It says this: "Is this not the fast I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house?" Now, Mark, I think that's the answer. You just take all the homeless into your house.
Before you go ahead and do 4,134 rooms that I have in my home.
Well, I know that that's the case. That's why I suggest it. Now, if you just take that and apply it, bring the homeless poor into your house. What he's talking about is a local problem. People locally giving the resources, you know, to provide accommodation, not necessarily actually in your own home, but a house for them to live in. And if you're doing that, if you're providing the resources locally and you see it being applied, then you also see if it's being abused. You stop waste and abuse of generosity, which you inevitably get when you get national government. And I think even local government applying it, because it doesn't have that personal touch that you get if it's actual local people giving voluntarily.
Yes. Well, there's also something else here as well, which is about transparency of where the money is going. Interestingly, 174 councils out of the 326 that exist in the United Kingdom actually have recorded rises. Now, for anyone who will know that is a householder or is renting or has a place to stay, will know that when they actually have to pay their council tax, there is a breakdown of all the costs of where that's going. So it could be for the streets, it could be for police, etc., the upkeep of the community. Yeah. Having a component which shows about helping and the homelessness, I think that is something that would show the community how it's building a better environment, a better society. And I think that in itself would be a flagship for these kind of initiatives. You mentioned about charities. I certainly think local businesses getting more involved. And it plays into what we keep talking about on the Mark and Pete Show, which is about localism. If you are going out on your streets in society, you want a local community that you can trust, that has transparency, that is putting effort into these type of humanitarian initiatives. I don't think that central government is capable of doing that. And I'm only going by the figures that show that clearly they're failing. So, listeners, what do you think about this? Are you seeing an increase of people sleeping on streets where you live? Is it something that's becoming a growing issue? What do you think? Why not let us know and fill out the contact form on Mark and Pete's website, www.markandpete.com, or follow us on Twitter at Mark and Pete. We'd love to hear from you, and we definitely want you to follow us. So join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Mark and Pete.